Jordan.
What's the difference? Okay.
All right.
Let's roll lunch.
That's on the tape.
I figured today we would do, since this week is Shabbos, I mean, is Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, and we're entering that time period. So far in the past, we've tried to learn something that is connected to, you know, connected to something that we're about to go through, or Yontif, or some sort of text. So I figured today we would start with, we would do Perek Aleph and Perek Beis of Yirmiyahu, because we're about to start Tammuz, and Tammuz is the time of destruction. We have Shavasar Tammuz is the starting of the siege of Yerushalayim, which ultimately leads to Tisha B'Av, to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And Yirmiyahu was that Navi. Yirmiyahu was the Navi that prophesied for the 40 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And in fact, you know, when you start to read Yirmiyahu, his life is very difficult, very sad. And for basically for 40 years, he told the Jewish people, like, you guys got to do tshuva. You got to fix it. You know, it's coming. There's going to be a destruction. There's something to do. And they didn't want to know from him. They didn't want to hear from him. And, like, they tried to poison him. They tried to kill him, you know, for 40 years. And he just kept on going and going and continuing. And, in fact, at the end, it's so sad. You know, he follows them down to Gullus. And the Medrash tells how he's following them. And how is he following them? He's following the trail of blood. And he's literally picking up the limbs and crying for them. And he says to them, Jewish people, if you would have listened to me one time, if you would have just sincerely changed your ways for once, this wouldn't have happened. And you know how he has this relationship. But it's very interesting. I chose to do Perek Aleph and Beis. Obviously, it's the beginning, it's the introduction. But I felt like it had a very interesting mix of messages, you know, for our lives today. And also just to understand that time period, one of the criteria of there were so many different, you know, prophets, and even, you know, we have Sheva Nevi'ot, seven women prophetesses, but there's a certain criteria of what Nebuah is recorded. And the criteria is this concept of Nebuah Shehutzer Chaladoros Nechtava, only a prophecy that is necessary for future generations, that is the prophecy that is recorded. So when we read these psukim and we read these perukim, it's not just, oh, something that happened thousands and thousands of years ago, because if it's recorded, then there's obviously something that we need to learn and gain from today. And I always, whenever I teach Navi, you know, in high school, I always put a section on my tests. And the section is called Hutzer Chaladoros. The girls have to take from the text, and they have to answer to me, how is this relevant today? What is the message that a person can walk away with? So I hope that when we read these perukim, we'll come out with some message going into Tammuz, and also gain a little bit of insight into that time period. What was the messages? What were they telling the Jewish people before, you know, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? So let's start. We'll do a little insight. If you could share. I'll read some of the Mefarshim. I know some of you just have a Tanakh. We're just going to open to Yirmiyahu. Everyone has. We're following. You know where it's sure. Yirmiyahu is.
Yeah, the first
is.
After you shut off in the class, it's okay.
Okay. All right. I'm just going to start. And you know, based on the Malbim, the first three psukim are kind of like the koteret. It's the heading. It's the opening of what this sefer is going to be about. So I'm just going to read those first three psukim together, and then try to explain, you know, what this introduction is based on the Malbim. So it says Divrei Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu. These are the dvarim of Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu, the son of Chilkiyahu, mina kohanim asher ba'anasos, from the kohanim that were in the town of Anasos, be'eretz Binyamin, in the lands of Binyamin, asher haya dvar Hashem elav, that the word of Hashem was to him, b'yimei Yoshiyahu. So his prophecy started during the time of Yoshiyahu, ben Amon, melech Yehuda. Yoshiyahu was the king of Yehuda, b'shalosh esrei shana l'malchuto, v'yihi b'yimei Yehoyakim ben Yoshiyahu, melech Yehoyakim, ad tom Estei Esrei Shana L'Tzidkiyahu Ben Yoshiyahu Melech Yehuda Aglo Yushlayim B'Chodesh HaChamishi. So basically, Yirmiyahu prophesied for a total of 40 years, but he prophesied during three different kings, and those kings, we start with Yoshiyahu, he continued to Yehoyakim, and then finally with Tzidkiyahu, he was the prophet until Glo Yushlayim B'Chodesh HaChamishi, until the actual destruction. So we'll look into in the Malbim. I'll just read to you. He says Shloshah Psukim Harishonim Hein Hotzaa LaHagbil Machus HaSefer Bechol Pratav. Basically, it's trying to outline the Hagbil, like Milashon Gvul, a boundary. It's going to try to outline what is the Mahut, what is the essence of this Sefer. What is going on here? What can I expect to find in Sefer Yirmiyahu? Ki kol Sefer Misifrei HaChachma Yugval. Like any intelligent, you know, piece of writing, you know, we have the introductory paragraph. It's going to, we have the thesis. We know what it's, anything that has any bit of wisdom in it has such a beginning. He says, "Mitzad turato v'divarim sheyidu barba l'mashal imhu sefer tochacha o shir o chachma o kadoma." We want to know what kind of book is this. Is it a tochacha? Is it a rebuke? Is it a shir? Is it a sefer of chachma, of wisdom? What is it? The inamar b'derach melitza o sipur v'kadoma. Or is it a riddle? What kind of book is this? Va'alze amar divrei, and that's why it starts with the word divrei. Modia shakolel kama minidvarim, that we should know that Sefer Yirmiyahu is divrei. It includes a lot of different types of things. Nimtu ba chazyonot, nevuot, sipurim, tochachot o kadoma. In this sefer, it's not just specifically a chazon is a vision. It's visions, it's prophecies, it's stories, it's rebuke. So basically, Yirmiyahu is kind of like a chalent. It's a mix of different types of things, and therefore it starts with the word divrei, meaning it's kolel, it includes divarim, different things. Mitzad mechaber asher dibir hadvarim. So who's this author? Amar shehaya Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyo. He's Yirmiyahu, the son of Chilkiyo. Shehaya navi umiyuchas mitzad she'aviv haya Kohen Gadol v'Navi. So first of all, who is Yirmiyahu? Yirmiyahu is the author, but he is the son of Chilkiyahu, who himself is a Navi and a Kohen Gadol. Now it's interesting, anytime, just so that you know, in Tanakh, when it introduces a Navi and it says Ben, it's coming to tell us not only is this person a Navi, but he's a Ben Navi. He's a child of a Navi. So Yirmiyahu is Ben Chilkiyahu. He's a Navi Ben Navi. But his father is much more important than just that. His father is the Kohen Gadol. And in fact, if we would look back to Melachim, we would find a very interesting story. This is Yirmiyahu's father. And I think that this story really, you know, gives us a little insight about what's going on in here, what Yirmiyahu is experiencing. So Yoshiel was the king, and Yoshiel started being a king at a very young age, and he started the Baal Tshuva movement. You know, he himself decided, obviously at that point, the Jewish people were not doing so well, and he decided, you know, he wants to try to do good, and he wants to try to make this mass Tshuva movement. He wants to get people to turn back. And so he decides that he's going to renovate the Beis HaMikdash. Now remember, you know, we had, you know, different events that were happening. It fell into disrepair. It wasn't something that they were taking care of the way they should. And then he's going to have this Beda Kabayas. They're going to try to repair the Beis HaMikdash. And when they send people in to try to do these repairs, they find a Sefer Torah. And they find it opened. And what is it open to? It's open to the Klalim. The curses in Devarim. Which is obviously, you know, what's going on here. It's open. A Sefer Torah is left open. And what is it open to? It's open to the curses. So they kind of want to figure out what's going on. And in fact, at that point, they send, you know, people to Huldah, to the Huldah the prophetess, to try to figure out what is the message. So anyway, this Kohen Gadol at this point, that they found this Sefer Torah during his time, was Chilkiyo, was Yirmiyahu's father. And obviously, the fact that it was open to the Klalo was not a good sign for the Jewish people. Even though they're trying to, you know, some are trying to mend their ways, the overall message to the Jewish people is that, you know, the Klalo basically say that if you don't do good, then bad is going to happen, you know, in different forms and versions. So this is who Yirmiyahu's father is, and this is the time period that we're talking about. So he's Minat Kohanim. So umavuar shehaya gam kein ashir ki aviv bevadai haya ashir kamo shekatov haKohen Gadol meyachav gdala o mishelachav. So obviously he's not only miyuchas, but he's a wealthy individual. Mitzad mekamo shehaya navi hanavi darbo asher amar min shehaya min haKohanim asher baAnatot shehayu miyuchadim beYiras Hashem. So he was from this village in Anasos that were special in the Yiras Shemayim umei Eretz Binyamin. And why is it important for us to know that he's from Eretz Binyamin? Lo mitoshavei Yerushalayim. He's not from Yerushalayim. Ki hamochiach shehu meir acheres lo yakir panim lo yachpe mitzad avas ir melo dato v'derev nishma'im biyoter. Meaning, if I'm from the city, if I'm from family, you know, if maybe my nevuah, my tochacha, my rebuke won't be taken as well because because, you know me, and you're just family, and this is my birth, you know, my birthplace. I love this city. It's the, you know, New York is the greatest city alive. You know, like, there's some sort of feeling of love for the place. But no, he's from a different place. He's this outside perspective that's coming in to give this muster to Bnei Yisrael.
Where is there at Midyamin? Where is that?
Well, part of actually Binyamin is where the Beis HaMikdash is. Part of the Nahala. But I don't know exactly on the map where Anasos is. Okay. So now we want to know. We have the Sefer. We know it's Divrei Yirmiyahu. We know it's going to include different things. It's going to have Musar. It's going to have Rebuke. Musar is Rebuke. It's going to have Nevuah. It's going to have stories. And we know that the author is Yirmiyahu. But where is Sha'av? Like, where did he draw this? Is it coming from his own mind? Where did he get this information from that he's giving over? Mimakor Mayim Chayim Min HaNevuah. So that you should know that this is not just coming from his head, but rather that this is a nevuah. Asher hayad zavar Hashem elav. Anything that he's coming to say is not from his own mind, is not what he feels he wants to say, but rather it's all from a higher source. It's from nevuah. Umitzad hazman shebo niba. And when did he, you know, prophesize? And basically, we said he prophesied during these three kings. Remember, he started during Yoshiyahu. They weren't so bad. Remember, Yoshiyahu was trying to do this, have this tshuva movement. Right? Then they tried to come back to serve Hashem. Yehoyakim. So, but then his nevuah continued during the time of Yehoyakim. Sha'az haya hador tzadikim, v'amelech haya rasha. And the generation was still okay, but the king was not good. Ad tom esrei esrei shana l'tzidkiyo. Sha'az etchalif ma'amad ha'am, sha'ayu rasha'im le'umatzeh haya hamelech tzadik. And then we have the flip. We have, he's continued during the time of Tzidkiyo. And Tzidkiyo was actually a good king, but the nation was lost, and they were not so good. Okay. And he prophesied basically till he saw the fulfillment of his prophecy. Okay, so that's basically the background of Yirmiyahu. This is the koteret. This is the headline. This is what we're about. This is what we're going to talk about. So we have pasuk dal vayizvar Hashem elai lemor, and Hashem tells Yirmiyahu, "Beterem etzarcha babetem yedaticha." Before I created you, before I formed you in the womb, in the stomach, yedaticha, I knew you. Ubeterem teitzei meirechem, and before you came out of your mother's womb, hitashticha, I set you aside. I elevated you. Navi l'gayim netaticha. I made you to be a navi for the nations. So it's interesting that Hashem is basically saying this. To Yirmiyahu. He's saying to him, and if you look at Rashi basically writes that when it came to the time of Adam Harishon, Hashem showed Adam Harishon every generation and its Nevi'im. And obviously Yirmiyahu is one of them. So Yirmiyahu is this special koach. He has this special potential in him. And it's interesting that the pasuk writes, Navi l'gayim nesaticha, right? He made a prophecy for the Goyim. So the pshat is, he was a prophet for the other nations. But we know, if we look through Yirmiyahu, that a lot of his prophecy was actually for the Jewish people. So what are we talking about here in this pasuk when it says that he's a Navi for the nation? And actually, what is Rashi explains, it's really talking about Bnei Yisrael, but Bnei Yisrael are acting like the Goyim. They're not acting in the sanctified way that's befitting them, that's called upon them, and therefore the Torah is the Navi is referring to them as Goyim, as the other nations, because they're not acting in the way that is befitting a Jewish person. Okay. Vayomar aha, and Hashem says to he says, alas, like I worry Adonai Hashem. Hinei lo yadati daber. I don't know how to speak. Kinar anokli, because I am just a boy. And actually, you know, according to some, he was very young. He was about 15 years old. So this is very daunting, and it's actually very interesting. There's a whole lot of references, but we're not going to go through them. But we see starting here that there's a whole comparison between Moshe and Yirmiyahu, because Moshe also said, I'm too young and I don't know how to talk. Remember, Moshe had a speech impediment. In fact, there's a lot of similarities if we had the time to go through to compare Moshe and Yirmiyahu. But basically he says to Hashem, like, I'm young. I can't do this. You know, at least, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, or other people, they prophesize at the towards the end of their life. They were older, they were respected. Look, I'm a young kid. I'm this little schnook. Who's going to listen to me? And, but Hashem says to him, you know, basically, Vayomer Hashem Eli, Al Tomar Naranochi. Hashem says to him,
don't say
that you're just a boy. You know, and it's very interesting. I think really the message here, the idea that we could take is this idea of the social responsibility. That in life, it's not just about us. You know, we see this. Hashem gave him certain kochos. When I was creating you in the womb, when you were being created as a person, I gave you certain kochos. And it's not just Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Every single person, when they are created, Hashem gives them their little toolbox. And everybody's toolbox is a little bit different. And their toolbox are their strengths and their weaknesses and the things that each person can accomplish in life. You know, and they have those kalim to do that. And every person has a job and something that is unique for them, you know, to bring about. We don't look at the world or the Jewish people as a nation of everyone's the same. There's no such thing as cookie cutter. There's no such thing as everybody's the heart of the nation. No, one person's got to be the hand. One person's got to be the brain. One person's got to be the heart. Someone's got to be the legs. Everyone has a different role. But every part of the body has a responsibility to the other to give the other part of the body what they have and what they can accomplish. And Hashem is telling to Yirmiyahu, you're young, but that's not an answer. It's not an excuse. You have these kochos. You have these things that you need to accomplish. You need to look at yourself. This is what you are. This is what you were chosen. This is what you were destined to be. You have to actualize your potential. And every person, especially part of the Jewish people, we have this in us. We each have something to give. And if we look at our infrastructure, how is the Jewish people set up? We have 12 shvatim. And even within the shvatim, we all have different jobs. We have a king, we have a priest, we have the levi. There's so many different jobs. And it's not that the kohen is the most important. If we were all kohanim gedolim, what kind of nation would we have? In fact, that each person is important. And it's not that one is, we have, you know, the teacher is the Levian. We have the Kohanim that are the priests. We have Yisachar, which are the people that are just supposed to sit and learn. We have Zevulun, which is the earners. We have Yosef, which are our politicians. And each person is quote unquote chosen to be part of Klal Yisrael. You know, we have Abraham, and Abraham had two sons. He had Yitzchak and we had Yishmael. Yishmael was like the klipa that was kind of like discarded. And Yitzchak continued. And then we have Yitzchak, who also has two children. He has Yaakov and Esav. And Esav was kind of, you know, that part that was discarded, and Yaakov was the chosen one, but Yaakov had 12 children. And obviously, you know, some of the Mefarshim say that was actually part of the Shvatim's fear when it came to Yosef and his dream. Oh no, is this going to be like everyone else? We're going to kind of be pushed away and it's just going to be Yosef? But in fact, all the 12 Shvatim are chosen, and each one is unique, and each one has something, you know, to add and something special about them. And each person, and also in a family, you know, we have in the challah class, we discussed the importance of challah and the role of the woman in the house. The job of the woman is not to be the man, and the job of the man is not to be the woman. Each person is endowed with their own special kochos. And that's what Hashem is telling Yirmiyahu. Al tamar ki nara nochi. There's no such thing as you're too young. You have special things that you need to accomplish. You have special kochos in which you are able to do that. And we're going to continue. Ki al kol asher shlachacha teleich, wherever I send you, you'll go. Ve kol asher atzavecha tedaber, and whatever I command you to say, you know, you're going to say. Al tirab ibnehem, don't be afraid from them. Ki itcha ani leitzilcha no'am Hashem. Don't be afraid of them because I'm with you to save you. Interesting. Hashem says, I'm going to be with you to save you. You know, because Hashem's not promising Yirmiyahu that things are not going to be rough and things are not going to be tough. No, no, no. They're not going to be happy with you. They're going to try to hurt you. In fact, they throw him in a pit. They try to poison him. His own family tries to get rid of him. They don't want to hear his prophecy. They're like, Yirmiyahu, get out of here. What are you talking about? We don't want to know from you. You know, it's better to bury the problem than to actually have to address it and think, maybe I'll have to change. That would be too complicated. They just want to kill the messenger. And Hashem is not saying to Yirmiyahu, it's not that life is not going to be complicated. No, every mission has its complications. Nothing in life is peachy perfect. But know that when they try to hurt you, I'm going to be there, lahatzilcha. They're not going to be able to destroy you. Yes, your mission might be tough and things might not go as smoothly as you might like, but you're resilient, and I'm going to make sure that you come out okay. And then we're going to continue. Vayishlach Hashem et yado, and Hashem sent forth his hand, vayga'al pi, and he touched his mouth, vayomar Hashem elai, hinei natati tzivarai b'ficha. Behold, I put my words in your mouth. Behold, I appointed you on this day. Al hagoyim va'al hamamlechos. I appointed you upon the nations. Lintosh, vilintots, vilahavid, ulaharos, to uproot, to crush, to destroy, to demolish. Livno, to build, vilintoa. If you notice, there are so many more words describing destruction than rebuilding, because most of Yirmiyahu's nevuah revolves around the destruction. Remember, he's this prophet. He's the last stretch, the last 40 years before the temple is destroyed. It's all Yirmiyahu. So while there is a little bit of that positive, most of his nevuah revolves around destruction. Okay, so now we're ready for the first prophecies of Yirmiyahu. And I remember I learned Yirmiyahu in high school in ninth grade, and I had a very wonderful teacher, Rebbetzin Weinberger from Woodmere. And she said to me, I want to ask you when I see you on the street later on in your life, what were the first two nevuahs of Yirmiyahu? And I expect you to remember. So if you ever listen to this, Rebbetzin Weinberger, it's many years later, but I remember. I know what they are. So here we have the first two famous prophecies of nevuah. We'll start with the first one. Vayihi devar Hashem elai lemor. Hashem says to Yirmiyahu, Hashem's words were to Yirmiyahu, saying, Ma taroa Yirmiyahu? Yirmiyahu, what do you see? Va'omar, and I said, Makel shaked ani roeh. I see the rod of an almond tree. Vayomar Hashem elai, and Hashem says to me, Hey taft leros, Yirmiyahu, you saw well. Ki shaked ani al devar lasoto. Because I'm going to hasten my word to accomplish it, okay? So basically, first of all, just interesting to understand about prophecy is that prophecy is very individual. In fact, when you look at the different prophecies, the style is very different. Because basically, like anyone, if I would ask any of you to write down, you know, what describe this room, each of us would describe it in a different way. One person might focus on the chandelier, another might focus on the dimensions, someone might focus on the coloring, the walls, the furniture. There's so many ways of viewing the same picture. So in fact, when Hashem's saying to Yirmiyahu, you did a good job, because he sees a full picture, but he knows what details to focus on that are talking about the actual message. So basically, you know, that's the concept in nevuah, that it's not just necessarily something clear. In fact, the only person that had this crystal clear nevuah, this aspaklaria ha-me'ira, this clear glass vision, was Moshe Rabbeinu. Everyone else had this aspaklaria she'ina me'ira, this like fuzzy, like seeing through a dirty glass. It's hard to make it out, and you have to see what's going on in terms of the main and the most important points. So basically, so what are we talking about here? We're talking about Yirmiyahu's nevuah, and we're talking about, what did it say? He sees this almond rod. Now, ladies, what does this almond branch signify? What is the symbolism of this branch? So basically, you remember, you know, we all know from our Tu B'Shvat Shtongs, Hashkediya Parachat, right? What's the first to blossom? The almond. The almond is the first to blossom. Basically, Hashem's saying, just like this is the first to blossom, it's imminent, it's coming, the destruction is coming. And in fact, we're talking about it's a rod, because a rod symbolizes retribution, punishment. It's going to be a punishment, and it's coming soon, B'nai Israel. And in fact, it's very interesting, you know, to note that for the fruit of the almond tree to develop, it takes 21 days. Now, what else is 21 days? We have from Shavasa Batamas till Tisha B'Av, we have 3 weeks. So basically, that is that the concept of that time period of that Hashem's bringing about this destruction, and it's coming soon. And that's the first nevuah. But again, back to our Hutzur Chaladoros, which is, you know, so very important. Hashem says to Yirmiyahu, after he sees this picture, and he's telling them, tell B'nai Yisrael it's coming, and it's coming soon. I'm not waiting. And he says to him, "Hey, Tafsel Rose, you saw good, Yirmiyahu, good job." So we said, obviously, on the pshat level, you know, every navi sees a vision, and it's up to the navi to be able to pick out those important details. So Yirmiyahu did a good job. He knew what details to focus on. But even more than that, ladies, I think the concept here is, "Hey, Tafsel Rose, Yirmiyahu, what you saw is really good." And there's so much in life that we really don't understand, and there's so much, You know, there's so many tzaros, and you know, for us to say, you know, why are good things happening to bad people? We're not the first one to invent this question. This is a question, an age-old question that so many people have dealt with. You know, in fact, Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem the same question. You know, this is a question that dates way, way back. And no, we cannot understand, you know, the way God runs the world. Finite man cannot understand the infinite God. But there is a concept of heitav tolaros, that it's bad, but what you're seeing ultimately really has tov in it. And even when there's bad and there's retribution, there's ultimately some good and there's some benefit. You know, the fact that God destroyed the temple was horrible. But the point is, he destroyed the temple and not us. That's one way of looking at it. And obviously, I can't even come up with all the ways of, you know, what it is. I can come up with suppositions of what it may be. And there's so many stories that you hear, of so many things that you hear that seem so bad. I mean, I always think about this story. The two stories come to mind. And there's a story I remember hearing of this boy. And I actually read another story that was so similar. I saw it on the news recently. Of a boy, a little boy who was playing in the playground, and you know, he was on the monkey bars, and he was doing what boys normally do, and he fell, and surprise, surprise, he broke his arm. You know, like a lot of little boys do when they're, you know, being very adventurous out there. And it was difficult because he was at that point in his life that he was learning how to write, and you know, he couldn't, and forget about the pain and the hassle, but it was never, he couldn't play outside with his friends, and he was behind his friends because they were all learning how to write, and his arm was in a cast, so he wasn't even able to learn. And oh no. So I would ask you, is this good or bad? And you would say to me, seems pretty bad. But then, if I told you what happened when they were going through the process and they were doing the x-rays, that they found a tumor in his arm, and they caught it so early,
saved his life.
It saved his life. You would say, I would say to you, now ladies, is that good or bad? And you would say, now that we know a little bit more of the story, you would say, it's actually good. And not always in life are we able to see the good. I remember hearing, I think it was Rabbi Katz, I was taking some classes on Eve, you know, during a break or something like that. During winter vacation in Mechala, so I got to go to Neve to take classes. And he was talking about this concept, and he told the story of a relative in England, and this story was absolutely wild. He said she was suffering from cancer, and it was really, really bad. And, you know, and there was not really very much for her to do. You know, they tried to do the most they can. She went through the radiation and the chemotherapy, but there wasn't really very much to do for her. You know, they did almost, you know, what they could. And she had one thing she enjoyed. She used to walk every day, and she would work a little bit in like a bookstore or something like that. And that would keep her going. And, you know, one day she's walking and there was some sort of rainstorm, and she got struck by lightning, which is, who ever heard of somebody getting struck by lightning? That's like one in a million. I don't even know the ratio, but I'm sure it's very, very rare, you know? And you think, oh my goodness, poor woman. She has nothing. She's the one thing she enjoys, going to her job, helping in the bookstore. She's suffering from cancer. She's gone through all these treatments. Like, heavens, give the lady a break. And in the end, you know, the doctor said, this is really horrible, but, you know, this dose was a stronger dose of radiation than she could have, that if we would have given her that dose of radiation, we would have killed her. But this, you know, heavenly dose of radiation gave her another 10 years. You know, so now I ask you the same story. Is it good or is it bad? So these are stories that we can actually see the end to. So we know that there is heitav tolaros. But what Hashem is telling Yirmiyahu now is, shoked on it. Yes, it's coming and it's bad. It's going to be destruction. But remember, Yirmiyahu, heitav tolaros. What you see, there's ultimately good in it. So let's continue on to Yirmiyahu's second prophecy. And we have the next pasuk of Yud Gimel. Vayidvar Hashem Elai Sheinislemor. And Hashem speaking to me a second time, saying, Ma taroeh? What do you see, Yirmiyahu? Va'omar. And I said, Sir nafuach ani roeh. I see this bubbly, steaming pot. Upanav mipnei tzafona. And where's the foam? It's coming from the north. Vayomar Hashem Elai. And Hashem said to me, Mitzafon tipatach hara al kol yoshvei haaretz. From the north, the bad will start on all of the inhabitants of this land. Ki hinini korei l'chol mishpachos u'mamlechos tzifon. I call the northern families. Nu'um Hashem u'ba'u v'nasnu ish kiso pesach sha'arei Yerushalayim. They're all going to come. V'al kol chomotei ha'saviv v'al kol arei Yehuda. They're going to come and they're basically going to plant their seats. They're going to make a siege around Yerushalayim. And he said, basically, Mitzafon, what are we talking about? What's north? North is Babel. That's, you know, the people who destroyed the first base of Mikdash, the Babylonians. But the pasuk says, Mitzafon, Tipatzachara. Not that the that it's going to come from the north, but it's going to start. Because unfortunately, it's not just going to be a one deal Beis HaMikdash destroying. That's just where it's going to start from. But we know ultimately, looking back on history, that the second Beis HaMikdash is also destroyed. So that is where the bad is going to come from. And they're basically going to come and they're going to make a siege around Yerushalayim and ultimately destroy it. V'dibarti mishpatai osam al kol ra'asam, and I'm going to speak my judgments against them for all of their bad. Right? What did Bnei Yisrael do that was so bad? We have one, Asher Azavuni. They left me. Two, v'yikatru le'Elohim achayrim, and they sacrificed to other gods. V'yishtachavu l'maasei yadam and yadehem. And three, they bow down to their own whatever they made. So the Malbim says we have the bad that Bnei Yisrael did was actually threefold. We have first Asher Azavuni. They left me. So Hashem says, maybe I could have come up with something. They left me here. But maybe I could have come up with a reason why they had left me. I could have been melamed chus. But not only did they leave me, what's the next step? They sacrificed to other gods. Another level. And not only that, so I said, okay, maybe there would have been some sort of purpose. They would have believed that these other gods had some sort of power. And even then, Hashem said, I could have been melamed zuchus. But then comes the last part, v'yishtachavu l'maasei yadehem. They made the avodah zarah themselves, so clearly they knew there was no purpose. And so here is the threefold of what Bnei Yisrael actually did. So Hashem continues to Yirmiyahu, v'ata te'ezor masnecha, get your belt together, gird your loins, as they would say in the English translation. Akamta and get up, v'dibarta aleihem, and speak to them. As kol asher anochi atzavcha, everything that I'm going to command you. Al techit b'fneihem, don't be afraid of them. Pen achitecha l'fneihem. Otherwise, so I don't break you before them. Meaning, basically, Hashem is saying to Yirmiyahu, if you're afraid of the people, then they're going to be able to hurt you. I'm going to allow them to hurt you. Hashem is demanding from Yirmiyahu total commitment and faith. If you are afraid of them, I'm going to end up letting them hurt you. You've got to be committed. You have to know that I'm not going to let them hurt you. And again, remember, ladies, we said Yirmiyahu did not have it easy. They threw him in a pit. They tried to poison him. His own family abandoned him. It was not an easy 40 years. Again, I'm going to make you like this fortified wall. They're going to try to fight you, Yirmiyahu, but I'm not going to let them. I'm with you. I am with you, and I'm going to save you, Yirmiyahu. It was almost like prepping him. Yirmiyahu, it's not going to be an easy job. I want to basically continue on to the next pasuk because I think that the juxtaposition of these two parakim are so beautiful. Again, we spent this whole parak talking about the destruction and how Hashem is so angry at Bnei Yisrael. Look at what they did. They left me. They worshipped other gods. And not only did they worship other gods, the other gods that they worshipped were gods that they made with their own hands. So clearly Hashem is very upset. So now let's look into parak Beis, and it's a little startling. It's not at all what you would expect the continuation of this to be, right? I would think that Hashem is going to continue on enumerating, and they did this, and they did this, so therefore this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. So Bnei Yisrael, you better get the message very fast, because if you don't get that message, it's imminent, it's coming. So we look into Parak Beis, and look how the Parak starts. Vayhi Devar Hashem Elai Lemor, and Hashem says Bnei Yisrael Lemor, Hello, Fikarata, Baznei, Yerushalayim. Some of you may recognize this psukim. Go out and call out in the ears of Yerushalayim. Lemor, Komar Hashem, so says Hashem. Zacharti lachesed nu'urayich, ahavas klulatayich, lechtech acharai b'midbar b'eretz lo zrua. I remember the great chesed that you did for me, Bnei Yisrael, when you were nu'urayich. What was that chesed that we did? We left Mitzrayim, and we went after Hashem into the midbar. Was there anything doing in the midbar? There was no food. It was a land of tziyav et salmavis. It was a desolation. There was nothing there. No water, no food, no nothing. And we followed Hashem blindly. This was the kindness of our youth. Lechtecha ahavas klulosayich. What was the ahava when we were a kala? When we accepted the Torah, we became Hashem's kala. Lechtecha charai b'midbar v'eretz lo zrua. Again, the land that there was nothing there. So now we have, so interesting, Hashem is
crazy.
It's totally like a juxtaposition. We have, Bnei Yisrael, you are horrible. look what you did. If you don't change your ways, I'm going to have to punish you. And then all of a sudden we changed. I remember the love that we had and all the chesed that you did for me. Matan Torah and coming after me in the Midbar. And it's just so interesting, but yet so beautiful and so much the important message that we have to take out of this. And what is that? Hashem's love for us is nitzchias. It's forever. It's eternal. It's like a parent and a child. It doesn't matter what the child does. And yes, the parent is very upset and disappointed with the child. And unfortunately, sometimes they have to rebuke the child. And even more so, sometimes they actually have to punish the child. But don't think that that changes the love for the child. Hashem's reminding us, yes, I'm telling you that there's destruction coming. And that you did wrong, Bnei Yisrael. But don't think that that changes my love for you. I'll always remember that the good that you did and that the love that we shared and that we had. But it's nitzchi, it's forever, you know? The pasuk in Yeshayahu says, Harim Yemoshe v'hagvos tzimutena, the mountains will crumble and the hillsides will fade, v'chasidim yitzcha lo yemosh. But my love for you, it's never going to end, Bnei Yisrael. And in Yirmiyahu again, Parak Lamed Aleph, Avas Olam Avticha, I have an everlasting love for you, Bnei Yisrael. I love you forever. Alkein Mashavticha Chesed, for this love I have drawn you close to me. There's nothing to talk about. And it's very interesting here that Hashem is calling us this love of a kala. There's two very different types of love. You have the love of an achot, of a sister, of a family member. It's calm. It's constant, right? You don't choose who your family is, but there's always that constant love. You know, you kind of grew up together. You're connected. There's something there that's unspoken. But then you have the love of a chassan and a kala, right? They choose each other. It's much more fiery. It's intense. It's passionate, right? And therefore, you know, because there can be fire, there also needs that separation. That's why we have the concept of nidz on mikvah, that we have that separation to once again rekindle that fire. But between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael, it's interesting, we have both of these loves. In fact, in Shir HaShirim, Hashem says, Mayafu dodech achoti kala. Bati lagani achoti kala. And I feel like that's exactly what this juxtaposition between Perek Aleph and Perek Beis is talking about. Yes, there's this love of the kala. There's this fiery, passionate love that Hashem remembers. But there's also this love of the achot, of the sister, of the family member. That's a constant love. And even when things are tough, blood is thicker than water, right? There's always that bond. There's always that connection. And there's always that constant love. And that's really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Bnei Yisrael right here. He's saying to them, yes, it's bad and I'm angry and I'm disappointed. But don't think that it means for 1 minute that I don't love you anymore and that our relationship is over. We'll just continue. There's another very interesting, the next point that Hashem is telling Yirmiyahu is again the same kind of concept. He says, Kodesh Yisrael Hashem. The Yisrael Kodesh, they're holy, but holy also means separate, they're set aside, they're sanctified. Reishis Tzvuasa, they're like the first of the grain. Kol Ochlavi Hashemu Ra'a, Tavo Aleihem Nu'um Hashem. So again, in our Challah class last week, we spoke about the concept of Truma, that there's a portion of the field, and also Challah is also called Truma, that we have to set aside for Hashem. Or actually, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, we would give it to the Kohanim, that we cannot eat. And if you do take part of this, you know, sanctified, you know, produce, you're punished. And Hashem is comparing Bnei Yisrael to this truma, to the reishis tivua, to the beginning of the produce. Because just like if some person comes and they take from this truma that's set aside, that's holy, that's sanctified, that's set aside for Hashem, they will be punished. Continues. Basically, any person or any other nation that comes and tries to hurt Bnei Yisrael, who we are like the truma of Hashem, again, they're going to be held accountable because we are set aside and we are kadosh. So again, there's this haftacha to Hashem that there will be bad, but those who try to do harm to us, they will be held accountable. Tavo aleihem ra'a. Shemu dvar Hashem beis Yaakov v'kol mishpachos beis Yisrael. Kol mar Hashem, ma'atz matzu avoseichem bi'avel. What wrong did your fathers find in me? Ki rechaku me'alai. That they distance themselves from me. That they went after things that were futile. They got involved in this nonsense, this nothingness.
Right?
Shum, right? They went after these things. Why didn't they say, where's Hashem? Remember that Hashem that took us out of Mitzrayim, that saved us, and that took us through the Midbar, and He sustained us in the Midbar, right? The Midbar is a land of Tziyah, of Tzalmavis. It's a land of desolation. There's nothing there. Did we starve? Of course not. We had the man, we had the be'er, we had the ananim. God took care of us. He took very good care of us. Our clothing never had to be laundered. They grew with us, etc., etc. And not only did He take us out of Mitzrayim, and He took care of us in the Midbar. I took you to this beautiful land of fields to eat from its produce and if it's good. And what did you do? You caved and you defiled my land. The Nachalati Samta Matoeva, you made my land like an abomination, right? So we see, like, it's not only that they didn't come and they didn't recognize the good, but they were kafui tov. Then not only did they not recognize God and give Him the appropriate gratitude, but they defiled it. They were kafui tov. It's almost like they spit in His face. Hakohanim lo amaray Hashem. The Kohanim, the priest, they didn't say, where's God? The Tosei HaTorah lo yaduni, and those who hold on to Torah, they didn't know me. The Haraim Pashubi, and the rulers, they rebelled against me. The Hanaviyim Nivu Babal, and the prophets, they prophesied for the Baal, for the Avodah Zarah. The Acharei lo yu'ilu halachu. They went after they went after nothingness. They went after something that wouldn't be able to help him. And basically, obviously we're talking here how not only were they not recognize the good of Hashem, but they were kafoy tov. But I think out of all of these groups, Hashem basically enumerates different groups that didn't recognize Him. We have the Kohanim, we have the leaders. They should have said to Bnei Yisrael, no, what's going on here? Where's Hashem? The Nevi'im, what's their job? To keep Bnei Yisrael in check, to remind them of who Hashem is. The rulers, the Nevi'im prophesied for the Baal, the Kohanim, everyone, no one did their job. But I think the most interesting point that is said here is Tofse HaTorah Lo Yaduni. Those who grasp on, Litvos means to grasp onto the Torah, Lo Yaduni. They didn't know me. What does it mean? How could a person be sitting here literally holding on to the Torah? How could such a person not know Hashem? What does that mean? So I think if you look into the Radak, who are these Tosei HaTorah? Hei machachamim lomdei HaTorah lo yuduni. Shalom lomdu HaTorah lishma. Lekayei macha ketuvah. El lomdim bepeh velo balev. Zehu lo yuduni. Ke machshava tovah vahamasin tovim. Hu daito velo halimu levad. Who were they? Yeah, they were graced to tell me to chachamim. They knew how to learn. They were sitting and they were shaking. But the purpose was just sitting and just learning. But they didn't bring it into action. They didn't bring it into their lives. And therefore, they were holding the Torah, but they didn't know me. And I think, I would like to end off with this concept of Tosei HaTorah Lo Yaduni. We have this very interesting concept. Again, it's important that when we learn, it's about bringing the Torah into our life. And there's a famous question that's asked. When a person goes into the sukkah, every time you go into the sukkah and you're going to sit down, you're going to have a meal, you say Leishei B'Sukkah, right? So if I go in the morning and I have breakfast, I make my Leishei B'Sukkah. And then let's say I go out and I come back and when I have lunch, I make a new bracha, correct? But when it comes to Birkas HaTorah, the bracha that we recite on Torah, you say it in the morning, and I go to work, the whole day I could be involved in work, right? I might not even have 1 second to open up anything. And I come home at night, and I want to sit down and learn something. Do I make a new bracha? Mm-hmm. No, why not? And this is exactly this answer of the Tosei HaTorah Lo Yaduni. Because when you go to work, and you deal with your business honestly, and you speak to people in the appropriate way, and you're mechanech your children in the right way, and you speak to your spouse, or you're on a bus. I mean, here in America, we don't really take buses, but in Eretz Yisrael, you might take a bus. You go on a bus, and you get up for an elderly person, and you run your lives according to the laws of the Torah. It's not called hesech hadas. It's not called keeping your mind away. There's no break needed, and that's why there's no new bracha needed. Because the point is that Torah is not just learning about a piece of Rashi or a piece of Gemara or something from the Chumash or anything. Torah is about bringing it into your life. And therefore, these people were Tofsei HaTorah. Yeah, they might have known all Chumash and Rashi. They might have known Shas and Poskim and everything else. But the point is, it wasn't amanas lasos. They didn't trickle it down into their lives. In fact, one of the reasons why we say the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, shelo barchu b'Torah tchila. We spoke about this on Shavuos. Before Shavuos. Shelo barchu b'Torah tchila, right? What do you mean? They didn't say Berkas HaTorah, right? They didn't make the bracha on the Torah. You think these people, they knew that's what they're punished for? It's this concept, ladies, that they needed to make a new bracha because there was this hesech hadas. There was this taking their mind off the Torah because their whole day wasn't about Torah. Torah was something I did in the morning. Then I went to work. What I do in my office stays in my office. What I do in the base medrash or in the shul, that's where I'm the Jew. I'm a Yom Kippur Jew. I'm a Shabbos Jew. I'm a Shacharis Jew. That's when I'm Jewish. But my Judaism doesn't come into the office. It doesn't affect how I interact with people when I go to the supermarket or when I do errands or when I talk to my friends or when I interact with my family. And therefore, they were punished for shelo barchu b'Torah tchila. It wasn't a mere 2 seconds. How long does it take to say Berkas HaTorah? A minute? 2 minutes? You have a lot of kavanah. 3 minutes? Really? It's not a lengthy thing. But the point is, it wasn't that the concept of saying it. It was that it didn't come into their lives.
Yeah.
And that's the concept of Tosei HaTorah Lo Yadune. So I think, you know, now going into the, you know, the 3 weeks, we're going into Tammuz, to take these lessons that we take here. First of all, the lesson of Nar Anochi, of who am I? What are my kochos? How am I using my kochos for what I'm supposed to do? Hashem, there's a reason why each and every one of us are here, and what I can do, you can't possibly do, and what you can do, I can't possibly do. Each one of us has our own things that we need to accomplish. What is that? To know that life is not easy. Hashem says, I'm going to save you, but it's going to be a challenge. But Adam la'amal yulad, right? Man is born to toil. We're here to work. But to know, hey, taftalaros, right? That ultimately, even though it's sometimes we see that it's good, but to realize that, to remember in our lives, Tovsei HaTorah lo yuduni, that you got to take what you know and who you are, and it's gotta flow into your lives. Torah is not just about the base measures. It's not just about going to shul and Shabbos and davening, but it's taking those lessons and it's affecting the way you are and who you are as a person and how you interact with other people.